Well, welcome. Welcome to Southside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Lucas Cunningham, and we're so glad that you're joining us here from your living rooms, or maybe you're in your vehicle, but we're so glad that you're with us. We're ending a series called Through the Storm, and we all, as a nation, as a world, we have gone through a storm, and it's something that has shaken our world. It has gotten our attention, and rightfully so. And maybe really start to think about what are we building our life upon? What is our foundation when things get tough? Where do we run to when trials come? What are we investing in right now in our lives that we believe will pay dividends down the road? And so I think these are some important questions to ask, because foundations are important. The foundation of our family, the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our nation. Foundations is what we build upon. There's a story, it's a true story, of a subdivision that was put in New Mexico. And in that state, there was this new subdivision put in. They had they thought they were good with all the homes. They built the homes, everything was going great, but eight of the homes started to have cracks in the foundation. There would be times where the houses would start to shake, and there were some major issues. They couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but come to find out that eight of those homes were built upon a landfill. And if you know anything about landfills, you can't build over them due to the gases that come from that landfill. And so 20 feet below, there was a landfill underneath those eight homes. Having a solid foundation is important. Today we're going to look over at Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is going to talk about foundations. Let's turn over there to Matthew 7. And as you know, Jesus was a carpenter. Some even think that he was dabbled as far as being even a stonemason. Either way, Jesus was a man of at least a trade or two. And so he was familiar with the topic of building and making sure that you have a good foundation. So here it reads over in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 22. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and the floods come, the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. So Jesus, he knows it's important to have a good foundation. Let me ask, do you have a good foundation? Do you want a good foundation? I don't know anyone who says, yeah, I want a house, or I want a life that's built on a faulty foundation. But if you were building upon a faulty foundation, would you want to know it? I would. I wouldn't want to get halfway through my life or toward the end of my life to only to realize that I was building on a foundation that was already cracking, that I was building on a foundation where it was already shaking. No, I want something, I want the right kind of foundation. I want the right setup. I want to build like the wise. Like those who are wise, that's how I want to build, and I want you to build that way as well. Jesus wants us to build that way. So here's two requirements to build like the wise. Notice what Jesus says. He tells us, if you want to be wise, if you want to build like the wise, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Is wise. So there's two things you need to do. There's two things you need to do. You need to listen to the teachings of Jesus. In other words, learn them. And then you need to make a decision to act upon them. You need to follow. You see, Jesus isn't looking just for those who are puffed up with knowledge, but he's looking for those who are willing to follow him. When he went to the apostles, when he went to those who were fishermen, he said, I want you to follow me. In other words, I'm going to show you some neat things. You're going to see some miracles. You're going to see and experience things you never thought you would experience. I want you to follow me. And during the good times and bad times, I want you to follow me. The Lord wants you to listen and to follow. So we need to listen and follow the teachings of Jesus. You see, Jesus, when he entered into the world, in that environment in which he was in, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and even some of the rabbis, had made following God very difficult. They'd made it all about religion. They'd made it all about rules and regulations. And while rules and regulations can be good, they can be a guide for us. And, you know, we all need some rules, right? Or you have chaos. They had gone away from having that relationship with God and focusing on those rules and regulations that end up becoming an overreach and a burden on people. And God, that's not what he wanted to do. Jesus came to set us free. He came to give us the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, I want to feel free. And following Christ, there may be times in which you've put yourself underneath so many rules and regulations that you don't feel free. You're missing out what Jesus and what he came to do. You see, following Jesus will not make you perfect as far as a person. You're going to have mess ups. You're going to have times in which you fall down. But it still means that you can build on a solid foundation by living the right way. It means to live righteously. It doesn't mean that a Christian who lives righteously is better than anyone else. It just means that they have their focus on Jesus and living for him and listening and following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he called us to do. You know, when you build a home, or if you have someone building a home for you, or if you see a business that is being built, there are inspectors. And inspectors come, and from time to time throughout the process of that building being built, they'll have to sign off on that inspection on being good. Why is that? Why do we have inspectors? For safety, to make sure the building is being built correctly. And now, I realize there may be some who go, well, this is my house, this is my place. Yeah, but it may not always be. Eventually, unless the Lord tarries, you're going to pass away one day. Someone else is going to have that house. Could be your own children, your grandchildren. I don't know who it could be. Could be that you sell that home or you sell that business. Someone else is going to have it. You see, it's a way to keep order. It's a way to make sure their safety, that it was built correctly. There are some folks that I would trust in building my home, whether they had an inspection or not. And then there's a lot of people, I praise the Lord for inspections. You never know what could be missed. We've seen the examples of buildings that either did not follow code, or the inspector was paid off, or something shady was going on and the building collapsed. A building being built. We all have seen and read the news concerning about such buildings. You see, one might be wondering about this message and go, well, who are you? Who are you to talk about how to live? You know, who is Jesus to tell us how we should live, on what we should build upon? Now, in our lives, we all trust in something. Usually many things and just one thing that we trust in. But we realize there's authority given to those who are around us, sometimes whether we like them or not. I want you to know something, that as you look around this world and you see how it was made and how beautiful it is and how detail-oriented it is and how all that has been made, which I believe is from God, I believe that God has all the authority. Jesus is God. In fact, Jesus has all the authority. Jesus said so himself. And so, if you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you to find what is the truth is, and Jesus is the truth, and he is our authority. If you know Christ and you're watching here today, I want you to trust in the authority who is Jesus, who is over your life. He is the one calling the shots. If he's not, then one, you may not be really saved, or two, you're far from God right now. And I want you to know you can come back to him. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority. Not some authority, not partial authority, all authority. Where? In heaven and on earth. And so this is what we call the Great Commission, this part here. Jesus has all the authority, and so he tells the church what to do. The church doesn't tell Jesus what to do. The church is led by God. And so it says, therefore, go and make disciples. In other words, tell other people about Jesus. And of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then what should you do? Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The Lord is with us. God is with us. And because Jesus has the authority, we should do what he says. We should listen, and we should follow. Who are you listening to? Who are you following? You know, you can go on your social media account, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, and there's people that you can pick, or Instagram, and you can pick to follow them. You're interested maybe in that sport. You're interested in their entertainment. You're interested in what they have to say. I want to challenge you to follow Jesus completely and be all in. He needs to be the only one in which we follow in life. There's two types of people in this story who build. There's the wise, and then there's the foolish. There's the wise and the foolish. There's only two types of people. Now, you can figure out what category you're in yourself as far as how you're building your life and what you are building, if you're building wisely or foolishly. Now, it can be sometimes at times hard to differentiate which one we are. Because notice in this story, this example which Jesus has given, is that the homes seem to be very similar. They're probably built out of similar material. They both probably look very similar. They both are probably built maybe even close one to another relatively. But what's the difference in these two? Now. Both these homes had the same conditions. They're experiencing rain. I mean, the torrent is a heavy downpour of rain. They're both experiencing floodwaters. I mean, right now, if you're watching, we just had a pop-up tropical storm called Bertha. Came out of nowhere. A lot of people didn't know it was even coming. But we've had a lot of rain here in South Carolina in the last 3 or 4 weeks. There's areas that are flooding. And there's been homes that have flooded that have been near rivers and against around low-level areas. Both these homes may have been similar in size and in general structure. They both had to deal with the wind. What was the difference? The difference wasn't that they both were built. The difference was where they were built. Where they were built. You see, the foolish in Jesus' day, this would have been an area which would have been very easy and quick to build something. It would have been what they call a floodplain. It didn't always flood every year, but just as anywhere else, you eventually would have an area that was known for being flooded, and it would relatively be flat. It would sometimes have easier access to the river and to certain areas. And so it was kind of a way to make a shortcut, to get up something quickly. It wasn't as convenient. But the wise here, we see, they build upon bedrock. They build upon bedrock. And bedrock would be more difficult. It would take more time. But if you're going to do something worthwhile, do it right. always ask yourself this question. If you don't have time to do it right the first time, ask yourself, do you have time to do it right the second time? We all know the answer to that. The answer is no. So we should take our time and what we are building and do it the right way. Are you building the way Jesus would want you to build? You see, what you do in life, it matters. It really does. And every one of us will have to give it an account, an answer for what we do in our life. Every one of us. You see, the storm in this passage here, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for judgment is what it is. And so every one of us, we're going to be judged by God. One way or another, we're going to be judged by Him. And Jesus has given this word to you and to me to save us a lot of pain, to save us a lot of struggle, a lot of disappointment. Because there's many right now, they are building their life upon the sand instead of the bedrock. Some may not even realize the danger in which they are in, not just in a physical sense, but in their eternal sense, concerning their soul, concerning those who are around them, of where they're going to spend eternity. They think to themselves, well, hey, I'm a good person. I help other people, and that's wonderful that you help other people and that you're a good person. But you see, we're not really good within and of ourselves. The Bible says that we all have sinned and we fall short of heaven, of deserving heaven, every one of us, and that we need forgiveness. We need grace that can only come from God. So Jesus came and He died on the cross for our sins, that we may be forgiven, that we may enter heaven, not because we are perfect, but because we are forgiven. You see, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to get into heaven. And I'm afraid there are many who just are hoping they get in, or they just think to themselves, well, I'll try to have my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and then I'll get in. No, you won't. Biblically, you will not get in that way. You only get in by the grace of God. You see, your life's purpose will be revealed not by what you built, but where you built it. And externally, our lives may look similar to those who are around us. Think about it. Whether you're a follower of Christ or not a follower of Christ, there's many you can look at, and maybe they're even your own neighbors, that they have jobs, they have marriages, they have children. We have common struggles from paying bills to dealing with difficult times to dealing with trials. And you see that the conditions can be similar. You can be similar of other people's lives as your own life. But the question is, where is our foundation? And what are we building upon? We may think to ourselves, well, my life doesn't really look that much different. I mean, maybe there's things you don't do that you used to do, and you've calmed down as you've gotten older and you started to get into church. But you may look around and go, why follow Jesus? Why listen and follow Him when there's not really that big of a difference? There should be. There should be. You may look around and go, man, there's some who they don't have to deal with certain convictions of following Jesus. Why follow Jesus if I got to deal with some of this difficulty? Why should I do this? And you may look around at those who are cutting corners and they're not getting caught. Those who cheat, steal, disobey the laws of the land, and they don't get caught. And you think to yourself, man, I need to, they're getting blessed over here, and it feels like I'm just struggling, and I'm in the middle of this trial here, and yet it seems like they keep cutting corners, and they keep getting, but what's the point of following God if I'm never going to get blessed? You see, that's a lie that the enemy loves to tell you and I. You see, what you see is before the destruction, because the conditions look the same in your eyes at that time. Both houses look the same. Both are nice homes. They have their air conditioning. They have their, you know, their cable. They have their internet. And you think, there's not that much difference between my life and their life. What's the big deal? And they're getting blessed more than me. But what you don't see is that when the rain comes, when the floodwaters start to rise, you start to see what foundation you're really built on. And the one that's built on sand, that home will collapse. The one that's built on the rock, the chief cornerstone, the King of Kings, it will last. You probably have heard before, what goes around comes around. Some will say, well, that's karma. Now, there's a lot of different definitions of karma, and I'm not going to get into that tonight, but the point is that what goes around comes around. It comes from the Bible. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, it says, do not be deceived. We'll stop right there. Don't be deceived just because you look around and you see people cutting corners and you feel like they're being blessed and you're not, because you're trying to do what is right even when it's difficult. Do what is right because you have a God named Jesus Christ, who is your leader and your Savior, and showing you how to live, and it's not always easy. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. If you think someone's going to get away with it forever and ever, then be reminded of this passage. For whatever man sows, that which he also will reap. For he who sows to his flesh, the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't faint or lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Be reminded that when those who are living according to the flesh are going to reap that as well. What's going on? They are built upon the sand. Build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You see, choose what is right over what is easy. You will always harvest what you plant. And if you live a life of disobedience to God, you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. Now, here's the thing. You may not see it right away. You may not see that right away. You may look around and see what the cultural is doing and what they are teaching or / preaching and go, man, well, they're being blessed. What you don't see is the end result. I'm going to give you some examples. And some of this may be a little, may touch a nerve with some folks. But what is wise and what is foolish biblically? What does it mean to really plant well and to plant foolishly? Because we're going to harvest what we've planted. It's going to be harvest time. You see, what you don't see is that the season hasn't come yet. It hasn't come yet. You're seeing things grow and you're seeing others benefit in the middle of summer when the gardens are looking good, but you're starting to see weeds in the other garden. You'll start to see that there will be things that will be snuffed out. That eventually, when you do not tend to the weeds, it ends up choking out the fruit. And so while you may think everything is going well, what's going on is you see a garden that is neglected. That's what weeds really tell a story of. It shows neglect. And when there's neglect, there will be a lack of fruit. You may see fruit initially. You may even get some what we call first fruits. But when the main harvest comes, you're not going to reap. You're going to reap exactly what you have planted and how you've maintained. Listen, you may look around at our society and you see other people who are having sex before marriage. You may look around and maybe you're young, or maybe you're divorced and you're looking for a spouse and you're looking for someone that you can grow with and grow old with, and maybe you're older right now and you're looking for a spouse, I want to make this very clear, is that you may look around at the world, and the world may say it's okay, and you may be messing around right now with your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever else it is that's not your spouse, and you may think, what's the big deal? There's no consequences right now. Just because you don't see the consequences right away doesn't mean you won't see them later. And also, hear this, is that I think when we disobey God, especially in areas of Christian living, that there are blessings that we end up not receiving. There's blessings that we end up not receiving that we may not see them right there during that time, but later on, as things start to grow slowly, as we go deeper into our marriage, as we start to deal with our children, and you start to see how they're looking for a spouse. Listen, I'm here to tell you that what you plant, one day you will harvest, that you will deal with. And so marriage, man, sex is for marriage. That's it. Here's another one. Be a great employee. How can you be wise and not foolish? Be a great employee. Maybe, but preacher, I don't like my job where I'm at. Okay, maybe God needs to give you another one, but maybe God has put you there for a reason, and so you need to focus on being a good, God-honoring employee. God can move you on, sure. You see, believers live a life of wisdom as well by staying sober. Now, I'm not getting into the subject right now about should a Christian drink, should a Christian not drink. I've talked about that before. But the Bible is very clear against drunkenness. Very clear. And if you're going to live a wise life, if you're going to build upon a firm foundation and build something worthwhile and live like the wise, you need to stay sober. Now, that could not even necessarily even be talking about drinking. It could be talking about other drugs. It could be talking about other things in which you allow into your life that alter your mind. Listen to me. Is that stay sober. Here's another one, is watch what you say and how you say certain things. You know, I realize that there's not one of us that's a perfect Christian. We have our faults, we have our failures, but that's not an excuse to live and react to difficulties and trials like those who are not Christians. And man, we as Christians need to watch what we say. Christians, we should not be saying curse words, especially by ourselves, let alone around our family, around those that we work with, around our neighbors. We need to watch what we say. You represent, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He's the boss. Not you. And so sometimes you hear Christians, well, it doesn't matter what you say. Yes, it does. It matters what you say. And if you want to live like the wise and you want to build upon a firm foundation, you don't want to miss out on the blessings of God, build like the wise and watch what you say. Here's a sixth one, is run to Jesus in the midst of your trials. I tell you what foundations really show. They show who you run to. Because the world will say, when you have trouble, run and get you a drink. When you have trouble, go smoke marijuana. When you have some trouble, you need to let off some steam and go to this place or that place. But for the believer in Christ, what I have found is that when we have trouble and we have trials, we need to run to our foundation. We need to run to our Savior, who knows what it's like to be tempted, who knows what it's like to go through a trial. You need to run to Jesus. In difficult times, when the rain comes, when the floodwaters come, when it's unexpected, you see, you need to run to Him. Everything else that you may be tempted to run to is just going to leave you empty and unfulfilled, because it is built upon the sand. Moms, dads, here's also, if you want to live like those who are wise biblically, is raise your kids in the faith. raise your children in the faith. You see, it's your responsibility to do so. You say, preacher, well, I bring them to church. That's good, and that's good. I'm glad you bring them to church, and I hope that you come faithfully. But here's three things you need to do. Three things. There's no formula, but three things in which you need to do as a leader of your home, as a mom or dad, is, here's the first one, is pray and read the Bible with your children. Whether it's every day or it's a couple times a week, you need to have times in which you are teaching your children how to pray. How you are teaching your children the importance of reading the Word of God. I know a great Bible book that I got my sons. It's a Bible book that is a comic. Now, it's not a Bible, but it gives the Bible stories, and it's especially great for young boys. Something that we read almost nightly. I mean, is it every night? No. But we're just like other families where we get busy, but consistently we're in the Word with our children. Consistently we're praying with them. Teach them that faith. More is caught than taught. Faithfully go to church with your children is number two. Faithfully go to church. Listen, if you just decide, well, you know what, dad is a little tired. He stayed up too late playing video games and or fishing or hunting or doing this or that or the other. We're just not going to go to church here this morning. You're teaching your children that it's okay to skip church and that other things are important, more important than God. Oh, preacher, that's not what I'm... Yes, you are. You are teaching your children other things are more important than a relationship with Jesus. We as Christians are called to be faithful to the church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us specifically not to forsake the assembling of ourselves in church. And that's what we've been called. Here's the other thing. Worship in the car. Worship with your children. What do you listen to during the week? Man, there's some great Christian music. There's some great Christian music that you can worship with your kids and teach them how to worship the Lord. Worship with your children. Here's another one. I don't know if I like this one, but teach your children how to tithe. Do you know tithing and giving is a part of worship? Giving of your time, but also giving of your resources. Now, I realize when they're little kids, there's certain things they can't understand, but as your children start to get jobs and they start to become a teenager, teach them how to tithe. Show them that you tithe. Hey, let them know how much you tithe. I don't know about that. I'm letting them into my... They will see that supporting the kingdom of God, that supporting missions and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, how important it is. And we only get these kids for so long. 18 years or so. And then they're going to go and they're going to start their families. They're going to have babies. They're going to give you grandbabies, right? Invest in your children. Teach them and worship with them. You see, they need to know what's important. Because in the end, there's two results. There's two results. One house stands and the other collapses. That's it. You get no more second chances in this life. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. And that's the point Jesus is making here. What will you do with the life in which God has given you? Will you build it upon the sand like a fool? Or will you build it like a wise builder upon the rock and give it a firm foundation, which Jesus is our foundation? In 2001, the Boeing company finished a labor of love and completed a restoration of the last existing 307 Stratoliner. It was the first pressurized commercial airplane. Only 10 of them were made. And so they took this and they redid it. This is how they redid it. A New York company used a vintage loom to reproduce the original Pan Am wall fabric. The interior company put in the flooring, carpeting, and paneling. They even imported Scottish leather for the single aisle and crew seats. All the light fixtures, bulkheads, trims were manufactured from the original engineering drawings. Everything was done to perfection. It was beautiful. And 6 months later, it crash landed. Okay, well, did it crash land because the plane was old? Did it crash land because someone missed something that needed to be refurbished or redone or replaced? Like, what happened? What happened? What did they miss? They had the best of everything. They had, I mean, this was like something very precious and important to them. You know what it was? You know why it crash landed? They forgot to put gas in it. They ran out of gas. What a foolish thing to overlook. And many are building upon the sand instead of having a firm foundation, not because of ignorance. Not because of ignorance. We could understand ignorance, right? No, that's not the case. There are going to be many people who claim to know Christ who are building upon the sand, who are not ignorant of the things of God. And they miss heaven because they did not build upon the rock. Simply because they were thoughtless. They were thoughtless and ignored what the truth was before them on how and where to build. And I pray and I hope that in your life, as a Christian, that you will focus and realize that everything that God has given you, He's given you to further the kingdom of God. That if you don't know Christ or you consider yourself just to be religious, that you will see that you get one life. You get one life. This is it. And there's going to come a day where you're going to have to close your eyes. Your eyes are going to be done. They're going to be closed. And when you put your head on your pillow for that last time, you'll either wake up in a place called heaven or a place called hell. Do you know for sure where you are going? If you don't, today needs to be that day in which you pray, you repent of your sins, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and to be your Lord and Savior. Because without making that decision, without making Him your firm foundation and building your life upon Him, you're going to waste your life. And many have. And unfortunately, many will. But you don't have to. Regardless of what age you are, it's not too late for God to use you. It's not too late to scrap that house that is on the sand. It's not too late to go, Jesus, it's time for me to rebuild something new here. And the Lord will use that and use whatever time that He's given you left to build upon the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are undeserving, Lord, of grace and your mercy. But God, today we have one of two choices to make, to build like the wise or to build like the fool. And in this life, we can be tempted to build like the fool, to take the shortcuts, to be dishonest, to disobey, to ignore your word and to want to live life our own way. But God, life with Jesus is better. Life with Jesus is fulfilling. Life with Jesus is where we experience true joy. We experience true life. I pray that we'll humble ourselves and be about the kingdom of God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.